back to the text. I had a gentleman come up to me at the Beacon Light Mission the other night. We were leaving. We were done. We were on our way out the door, and the guy came out of the kitchen, and he said some nice things about the sermon, but part of what he said is that, I like the way you just open the book and just read the text. And I have to tell you, I've had this comment before that people are amazed that you just open the book and read the text. And somehow or another, I missed the boat. I actually went through seminary twice and somehow avoided taking a preaching class. And apparently in preaching class, they teach you how to tell stories and do other things. All I ever knew is that you open up the book and go to the text. So we're going to do that. James is kind of an interesting book. A lot of times the texts that we're in are large bodies of text, and I've done that from time to time. But when you read a whole bunch of text all at once and then try to discern the story, there's sometimes it's too much. James is very interesting. It's written almost like Proverbs. There's little short points that he makes, then he goes and he makes another point, and then he makes another point. So the good news is it makes you slow down and really pay attention to what he's trying to say. And for me to prepare the sermon, it really makes me kind of dig around and read and expand, because there's a lot in these short statements. We are in the book of James. James, the brother of Jesus. And his whole entire enterprise is that Christianity is a faith that works. Christianity is a faith that has a meaningful imprint in the world. We're to be about the work of the Lord. And yet, we live in a difficult world, amen? We live in a world that day by day, we are bombarded with temptations. That's what we're going to talk about today. And it's almost like it's too much to deal with. But it's James's enterprise in this next text that we're going to deal with has to do with this idea of temptation. Now, the struggle with temptation is real. Don't get me wrong. This passage that we're going to read focuses on where temptation originates from and how we can overcome it. So here's the big question. Where does temptation come from? Sometimes the desire and the craving for things or the lust for things are almost unbearable. We see something and we know that it's wrong, that we shouldn't have it or we shouldn't do it. But the desire and the craving become so strong that we can hardly stand it. We crave things. Like the latest phone. We crave things like the latest car. We crave things, God help us, like your spouse's or your neighbor's spouse. We crave things like power. We crave things like money. We crave these things, and the craving, the desire, the lust for these things becomes so overwhelming because our culture feeds into that and reinforces that. And every one of us, if we're honest, we have these cravings and desires for something in our life that in the back of our brain, we kind of know we shouldn't be thinking like that. And yet, there it is. It could be almost anything. So no matter what it is, even if we try to justify it and say it's acceptable, it's sin if God says it's wrong. Or if it hurts our bodies or our spirits. Take any of the things that I just talked about. Why do we crave them? Knowing the origin of temptation is going to help us tremendously in conquering the trials, which brings us to our text this morning. Let's pray over the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we know that you send us the Word of life, the Word of truth, so that we might be prepared to be the kind of people that you will welcome into your heaven. So, Father, I pray that the intention of James, the word that comes to him from you to us, will be meaningful and effective in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go to our text. James, we're going to be in the first chapter. If you have your Bible, you can open that up to James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Ever notice how people tend to blame their failings on something else or someone else? So when Adam fell into sin, you can go back and read the passage. It's kind of funny because when Adam is brought to, God goes to Adam, wants to know what happened. He says, well, she made me do it. And then he says, and besides God, you put the apple here. Doesn't say that in the text. You know, he says, so why did you give me this woman? So he's trying to blame God. He's trying to blame the woman, trying to blame God. Everybody tries to blame everybody else. The most common thing in our culture right now is when a criminal is brought to justice, and one of the most profound arguments these days seems to be, yes, but you have to look at his upbringing. Yes, he committed the crime, but society caused him to be this way, which is a specious argument because there are people who grew up with that person who had exactly the same background, and they didn't do the bad things. But it's a powerful argument. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault or something else's fault. Adam says to God, the woman whom you put here with me tempted me. Then when God turned to Eve, she said the serpent deceived her. The point is this, we seldom want to take responsibility for our own wrongdoing. The man blames the woman who blames the man. The child blames the parent who blames the child. Student blames the teacher who blames the school. Society blames the criminal who blames society for their behavior. We even have the tendency to joke about temptation and sin. We say things like this, if it hadn't been there, I wouldn't have done it. Have you ever heard someone say, well, God made me this way? That's my justification for doing wrong, being wrong, acting wrong. Well, God made me this way.